Good morning. I'm blessed to be here. Blessed to be here with you. I'm glad you're here. And thank you. I know it's in the bulletin, but I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for your encouraging words, your cards, for pastor appreciation. I didn't know it was a month long. I think it was Chris Roberts that did something. I said, it's the whole month. But thank you very much. I keep your cards. I read your cards, and I'm blessed, very blessed by you and the love and the family here at Faith. Prayer requests. Continue to pray for Brad and Cynthia. I went and I visited with Cindy last night. Brad's in a hospice room at the hospital, so he's stopping treatment for his cancer, and Cindy said his word, put a fork in me, I'm done. But he's tired, and we've been praying for him for a long time, and just continue to pray for Cindy and his family and for Brad through this journey that he's going to be on to the Lord. But we're going to praise God. He knew the Lord. Cindy knows the Lord, but definitely is going to need our support and our encouragement during this time. Also continue to pray for Peggy and Dave. I know Peggy was wanting Dave to be able to be transferred to Arlington for some rehabilitation and therapy. I think it was Thursday or Friday. I went and sat with Peggy and Dave, and their kids were there, so it was good to see them, but he was definitely Dave. It was just good to see him, and it was good to see Peggy, but he's going to have some rehabilitation that he's going to need to get done in order to be able to go home and be able to walk on his own and everything, so continue to pray for Dave and Peggy. Pray for our girl Rachel. She got hurt this week, so we're going to pray for her, for her knee. She goes to a surgeon on Monday.
Yeah, I got to keep Marsha's brother in.
Marsha, yeah.
And she's battling some depression right now because he's nearing his end also. So just keep him in prayer.
Keep Marsha and her brother, yeah. Karen Emerson. Hi, Bobby. Bobby's cousin Ron, prayers for his cancer. And James lost an uncle this past couple weeks. He's been with his mom, and so just keep his family in your prayers as well. In Psalms 34, it says, I will bless the name of the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. One who is righteous has many adversaries, but the Lord rescues him from all of them. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. The Lord redeems the life of his servants, and all who take refuge in him will not be punished. Amen. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. We need some redeeming. We've seen some redeeming, haven't we, church? Amen. Let's go to the Lord and prepare our hearts for this time of worship and praise this morning. Father God, we have come into this house, and we gather in your name to worship you. And the hymn says to forget about ourselves and to concentrate on your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is worthy to be praised, who is worthy to be worshiped. for all the great things that he has done, the redeeming of lives that we have been witness to, not only our own lives, but the lives of those around us. You are worthy to be praised that you are a God who hears your cries of your people. Cries for healing, cries for mercy, cries for comfort and peace, Lord. And so right now, Heavenly Father, I pray for those that aren't able to hear you, that aren't able to see you, that aren't able to concentrate on you during this time. And as we sing these songs of praise and worship, Lord, let it catch their attention. Let it catch our attention, Lord, that a word may not fall flat on the floor, but that we catch it to write it on our hearts, that we may leave this place encouraged, inspired, and empowered to proclaim the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, to transform not only our lives, but the lives of those around us. Help us to concentrate on you, glorify you for the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And what is praise? Praise is not quiet.
Our greeting today is taken from Psalm 106, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? There is joy for those who deal justly with others and always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show your favor to your people. Come near and rescue me. Let me share in the prosperity of your chosen ones. Let me rejoice in the joy of your people. Let me praise you with those who are your heritage. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we feel the briskness of the air outside as the weather changes and the seasons change and the colors change and the beauty of your earth comes to life. But then as those leaves fall, again things change. But you are there with us. You are there beside us, and that you warm us even when the weather turns bad. We know that you're there, and we understand that you're here with us today. You sit beside us and you encourage us and you calm us and you give us hope in our lives. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that you allow us to give gifts back to you. They are for you, dear Lord, for your purpose and for your reasons. And we thank you for those gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple short little diddlies from Genesis that they throw at me. And then I read and I look at and I say, this is kind of neat. So it's something different. So let's be positive, okay? If you fail, never give up. Because fail means this. First attempt in learning. End is not the end. In fact, end, E-N-D, means effort never dies. And if you get no as an answer, remember that no means next opportunity. Amen? You know, your diet's not only what you eat. It's what you watch. It's what you listen to. It's what you read. The people you hang around with. Be mindful of those things and put into your body emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Remember that. Amen? The choir is going to sing today about something that's near and dear to my heart. Jesus, what a friend. Let us pray the prayer, "This is my Bible. This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen."
Amen. An announcement that I forgot earlier that I want to make sure. The last Sunday of each month, Faith Recovery is going to be showing an episode from The Chosen. They're going to start at the beginning of season one, and then the last Sunday of each month, they'll go throughout the series. And if you have not yet had an opportunity to watch The Chosen, I highly, 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 highly recommend that you join on the last Sunday of the month so you can start watching it. I love it. I think season one might be my favorite. There's four seasons. They're coming out with the fifth season next month. And they're all good. I just rewatch them. So tonight at 6, Faith Recovery is going to be starting the Chosen series. So I hope that you are able to join. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 42 this morning. That's Mark chapter 10, verses 42. And it says, "They came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many warned him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, 'Have mercy on me, son of David.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called the blind man and said to him, 'Have courage, get up, he's calling for you.' He threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. And then Jesus answered him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' He said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go. Your faith has saved you.' And immediately he could see and began to follow Jesus on the road." May God have a blessing of the reading of his word this morning. Amen. This is the final healing of Jesus. The final miracle, really, in Jesus' ministry. We're heading to the end. Jesus has traveled and he's been filled with miracles, virtually every town and every village. He did signs, he did wonders, he did mighty deeds displaying who he was, his deity, his compassion, his power, his love, while preaching salvation and the entrance and the building of his kingdom. God's kingdom, his Father's kingdom. He has demonstrated God's power over disease, over demons, over death, over nature. He has shown that he has absolute authority over everything. And for some, there hasn't been a question of who he is, the truth of what he came to do. He had to be the one. He had to be the Son of God, the Messiah. And we know that there was one more miracle to come. And that miracle that changed not only the course of history for the people of Jesus' time, but it changed the course of all of human history. Jesus' resurrection was to come. But for this moment, where we're at right now in the Gospel of Mark, God in flesh who walked among us, God who lowered himself to become one of us, will display what the scripture meant by becoming the suffering servant. What Isaiah means in 52 and 53, he said, "See, my servant will be successful. He will be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted, just as many were appalled at you. His appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man, and his form did not resemble a human being. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have any impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of suffering who knew what weakness, sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sickness, and he carried our pains. But we, in turn, regarded him as stricken, struck down by God, afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our inequities, punished for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb being led to the slaughter, like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of the oppression and judgment, and who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, but he was with the rich man at his death because he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfulness. Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. And when you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed and he will prolong his days. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquity. At this moment, at this time, for the anointed one to become the lamb being led to the slaughter, as Jesus has been telling his followers, it is time for him to go to Jerusalem, to be hated, to be despised, to be turned over to the religious rulers. They were jealous and rejected God's anointed one. The betrayal is coming by way of a beloved brother, and Jesus knows this. Death is certain. The crushing of his body, his mind, his soul, and his spirit is inescapable, and he knows it. He foreshadows this in the crowds that will be shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Those shouts are going to be turning to cursing and slurring, slander as he hangs on the cross. And as we journey to the cross with Jesus, it's hard for some to take part in Maundy Thursday and Good Friday service because it's filled with sadness, suffering, sorrow, grief. And we want to skip all that, right? We want to skip all that. And we want to go straight to Easter Sunday. We want to go straight to the celebrations. We want to go straight to the end of the story. It's not really the end of the story, but it's the happy ending to the story. But this morning we come at the beginning of this journey to the cross. He's coming to Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And I wanted you to understand this morning what Jesus knew was coming. He tried to tell his disciples what to expect in the depth of the journey, but they were blind to the understanding. Would you say that there's a lot on Jesus' mind as he's traveling to Jerusalem? Yeah. He went into the town of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And when Jesus is coming into the town and all the pilgrims pouring through Jericho on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover, great multitudes, the gospel describes, the crowds, the streets were packed. I get claustrophobic just watching the news and looking at places like Beijing, big cities, and those people that they pack on the subways in China. They have police officers who cram you into the subway to get the door shut because there's so many people. Or they pull you off because the doors won't shut because there's so many people. You know, Newark, I mean, it's a larger city, but it's not that large. We don't have traffic jams usually like Columbus or bigger cities in our nation, right? But watching all those people walking the streets, it gives me a little bit of a anxiety feeling. There's a lot of people on the streets in Jericho on their way to Jerusalem. You could imagine the noise. You can imagine the chaos. The anticipation is exemplified. It's magnified because the one who could be the Messiah is on his way to Jerusalem too. Some are following Jesus because they want to see what's going to happen next from him. They may not believe that he's the Messiah. They may not believe he's the one sent by God, but they want to be in on it. The one who raised Lazarus from the dead in Bethany is coming this way. He's coming to Jericho. The town is abuzz. And Mark zooms in on this moment. The other gospels talk about it too, but Mark zooms in so close than the others because he gives us the name of this blind beggar among the great multitude. And according to Matthew 9, there were many beggars in Israel. Large crowds of beggars with every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. But Mark points out Bartimaeus, who wasn't the only blind person there. He wasn't the only stricken person there. He wasn't the only one needing healing there. We don't know if he was blind at birth or if it was due to an onset of an infection, but what we do know is that because of his blindness, the Jewish community looked at him as having a curse from God. He was alienated from his community, outcasted and declared unclean, homeless, begging on the street. And in Luke 18, it says, Bartimaeus heard the great crowd passing by and asked, what was happening? This is different than any other pilgrimage that I've heard of people on their way to Jerusalem. What is going on? I've been here before during this time. I've heard crowds coming through, but this is different. Something's going on. And he asks someone, hey, what's happening? The people among the parade in Jericho said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth. You know, what good has ever come out of Nazareth? That Jesus, that Nazareth, the poor, insignificant Nazareth, that Jesus. And the crowd said, Jesus of Nazareth. But Bartimaeus heard Jesus. He heard the Son of David was passing by. And he called out, he cried out. The Greek word used for this crying out is as a woman screaming out in the pains of labor. He was screaming out, not what the crowd was saying about Jesus. He was proclaiming what his heart said about Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The messianic title of Jesus, Son of David. Why is that so important, Pastor Haley? What is that? Why? Primarily, the title, the Son of David, is more than a statement of that genealogy of King David. When people referred to Jesus as the Son of David, they meant that he was the long-awaited deliverer. The fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy that we read earlier. When they said Jesus, the Son of David, that meant that they did not question who he was. They knew who he was. He was the one. He was the Messiah. Bartimaeus may have been physically blind, but he was not spiritually blind. He is the only one in the crowd that cried out who Jesus really was, Son of David, the Messiah, the Deliverer. And even the 12 disciples that had been with Jesus all throughout his ministry was still having a difficult time with their spiritual blindness. The people tried to make him keep quiet. Hush! Nobody wants to hear from you. Who do you think you are? You're a beggar on the street. You're unclean. You're blind. Keep quiet. You're not important, Bartimaeus. You are here every day. But the more they tried to silence him, the louder he became. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, wasn't about to allow such a bold proclamation of faith go unacknowledged. I love that about my Jesus. How bad do you want what God has put in your heart? How bad do you want what God has put in your heart? Capital B-A-D, bad enough to outlast those that are telling you, what are you thinking? Who do you think you are? You really think that's really what God has and wants for you? Do you think he's going to pay attention to you? Look at what you've done. You're on the side of the road. You're unclean. Who do you think you are? We're the chosen ones. We're his 12. We're in the in crowd. Bartimaeus, who do you think you are? Are you bad enough to do the right thing when the wrong thing is happening? Do you want it bad enough to keep pursuing even when the circumstances say it's not going to happen? And individuals here are going through a time of spiritual warfare, individually. There are individuals here, they keep taking hits, and they keep taking hits. They keep on going through it. I mean, random thing, like they're going good, they know the truth, they've given their life to Jesus Christ. He's given them blessings, but then they get hit out of nowhere. Do you want what God has put in your heart bad enough that no matter how many hits that you're going to take from the devil to get discouraged, to get you down, that you are going to continue to praise your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, calling out to him and saying, you know what? You're the Son of David. You're my Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Deliverer, and I'm going to keep on keeping on. Delays, the time that's not fair. It's a test. God is seeing how bad do you want it. That's how you weed out, how he weeds out. If you're going to overcome, if you're overcome by problems, you let the circumstances push you down. You let the people talk, convince you that this isn't what you should be doing. Look, really? God's really with you. This is how your God is. That's a joke. You're not going to have the strength or the courage to sustain where God is taking you. Faith gets the attention of God. Faith gets his attention. Unrelenting faith. Crying out for mercy gets the attention of God. He could have asked for anything. Bartimaeus could have asked for anything. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for fame, fortune. You know, that would have taken care of his blindness. He wouldn't have had to worry about living on the streets. He could still be blind. Lord, I want to see. There's some in this sanctuary that have a very great need. And you have cried out to the Lord to be healed or to be rescued for something. He's listening. He hears you even more than, you know, sometimes when I have a lot of stuff going on in my life, particularly bees, right? A lot of things going on. A lot of things were happening over the summer, and I was getting hit, getting hit, getting hit, getting hit, getting hit with different things, sickness, illness. My best friend's husband was passing away. A lot of things just overwhelmed, and it was overtaking. And I think Jesus had so much more on his mind. Jesus had so much more going on, and yet he still stopped and he heard the cries of a blind beggar at the side of the road. How much is going on in your life? It can't be anything like what was going on in Jesus's life. You have time to reach out. You have time to see what's going on, other people around you and the needs of others, and minister to them, because I can guarantee you they're going through something that you've probably already been through. Jesus did it, and isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Lord, give me, I want to see, be more like Jesus. Less like me, because me, I get tired of myself. I get tired of my mess. I get tired of my crazy. I want to be more like Jesus. He has a great care for you. You can pray, open my eyes, Lord, so I can see your will, your purpose, even though the sorrow and the thoughts, these impossible things are tugging at me, tugging at my attention, tugging at my life. You give me the ability to believe and live life to the fullest. Help me see. To express mercy is to seek to remove the misery that someone is going through, even though they may deserve it. Now, this is not saying that Bartimaeus in any way deserved to be blind. That's not what this is saying. We're talking about the mercy of God. Some of us deserved what we went through. Just gonna say it. Some of us put ourselves in situations where we deserve to have a consequence. Not everyone. I've had those two situations in my life where I've had to either cry out for mercy because of something that I did do and that I deserve to have a consequence for, and I've had to cry out to mercy for God because somebody did something to me that I did not deserve. Mercy is not just feeling sorry. Mercy is a tangible act of removing the misery, the suffering. All of us in this room are sinners in need of a Savior. Every single one of us. Some of us have done things to get us into situations. We need mercy from Jesus, humbly acknowledging that, not complaining about our circumstances, no matter how we've gotten into those circumstances, professing our faith and acknowledging our need for his mercy. Because I'm going to tell you something, complaining about how nobody is helping you, complaining about how everybody else is getting something that you need, does nothing. That does nothing to move God. It didn't do it with the Israelites walking around in the wilderness for 40 years, and it's not going to do anything for you either. And I'm not trying to stand up here and tell you that I have never complained, because I have. But you got to be quick to know. You got to be quick to recognize when you're doing it and be like, you know what? I don't want to be a complainer. I want to see the mercies of God in my life. I want to be reminded of all that God has done in my life that has got me to this moment. I want to be reminded that he is a God who has never failed. I want to be reminded that he is going to finish the good work that he started, because that's what the Bible says. I need some truth. I want to be reminded of his truth, because when you start complaining, when you start feeling sorry for yourself, nobody is helping me. Nobody's doing anything for me. That's not mercy. That's not praise. And that is not having faith. Because there is a room full of people here. A room full, a church full of people here that I can guarantee you has either helped you, has either prayed for you, or maybe they haven't. They just don't know what your need is, because all you're doing is complaining about it. Bartimaeus didn't sit there and complain and feel sorry for himself. When the crowd told him to be quiet and shut up, he got even louder, crying out to Jesus, proclaiming Jesus. And when the Savior did come to him, when the Savior did call to him and asked him what he needed, what he could do for him, he knew specifically what he wanted. He wanted to see. His life was touched by Jesus. In Mark, it says that Jesus said, "Go, your faith has saved you." And it says that Bartimaeus began to follow Jesus on the road. Salvation is shown. Before the cross happened, you have been saved by your faith in Jesus Christ. We receive mercy at the feet of Jesus when we humbly come to him confessing he is the one that can save us because he is the one true Messiah, King of all kings, Son of David. And the proof of our healing, the proof of our faith is that we get up and we follow him on the road, just like Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus walked with Jesus into Jerusalem. Does it say that? It says he could see and began to follow Jesus on the road. He was there for the triumphal entry. Luke tells us that he began to follow him, glorifying God on the way. And the gospel doesn't specifically say it, but scholars think that Bartimaeus could have been there through the week, and he's there after the resurrection, and very likely he's there in the church, the beginning of the church, and that's why he's named specifically in the book of Mark. Because they wanted people, they wanted Christians, new Christians to know how Bartimaeus got to where he was, what his origin story was. He spent his whole life as an outcast, and now Bartimaeus is known for something much more powerful and an example of the event that altered all of human history. Now he's on the inside. We are all sinners, beggars at the side of the road. We can't go anywhere unless our Savior comes to us, unless our Savior comes to town. You, me, all of us have been on the side of the road, and Jesus has come into our life. And in our moments of desperation, in our moments of helplessness, he came to us, reached out to us, our hearts crying out. We should be crying out for mercy. Mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I know I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. I deserved it all. I deserved the punishment of the cross. I deserved that. And we're marked by his miraculous power of being our Savior, of being willing to take up the cross that we deserved willingly, being our healer, being our chain breaker, being our promise keeper, all because of the road to Jerusalem, all the way to the cross of Calvary, dying a horrific, painful death for our salvation and being raised again on the third day for our redemption. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It's personal, isn't it? Isn't Jesus so personal? I love that. Amen. Let's pray. Why is it that we are afraid, Lord? Why is it that we are afraid to cry out? We sit in the darkness and we cry and we complain about our circumstances that have overtaken us, and you give us this opportunity, this right as being your children through Jesus Christ to come boldly to the throne of glory. Yet, when we are given that opportunity to approach the Savior who offers us light and healing, we cower in the darkness, not daring to believe that healing and light is possible in our circumstances. Who are we to say anything is impossible for you, that you don't care when you have given us so many examples to say it otherwise? The darkness of our hearts invade us. The colors of our attitudes distract us. Lord Jesus, come and shine your light. Only you can shine in us and through us. Heal our blindness because we want to see you in order for us to be more like you, to build your kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. Lord, remove the darkness, remove the veil from our eyes, to see you in every part of our circumstances, to not be complainers, but be proclaimers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God that he sent us a Savior that knows us personally, that sees us, that loves us, no matter the crowds that are around, no matter what situation that he was in on his way to Jerusalem. He sees, he hears our cry out for mercy, and he comes to us. And he is merciful, and he is kind, and he is gentle, and he never ever leaves us. Amen. Amen. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has saved you. Immediately he could see and he began to follow him, glorifying God. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. And as you leave here, you've encountered Jesus. You're going to get up. You're going to follow out the door, glorifying God, acting like you have a dad who cares about you. And when people see it, they praise God. Amen. Yeah.